Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am your host, Annika Jackson. I'm so excited to be here this week with Alex Williams. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hi there. I'm doing well.
Awesome. So you are such, dare I say, badass entrepreneur and a woman on a mission. You do so many things, and I love to have people walk through their stories, how they got to where they are, who they are. Your business, your main business right now is Holistic Hyperbarics.
It is, and it has been quite a journey to get here. If I'm very honest and clear, the meditative thread through my whole career has been in the service of helping people. And that's kind of where I have my compass always. So I was an EMT on an ambulance for 10 years. I worked as a doula for 11 years. I, in fact, still have a birth this summer for fun. I volunteer mainly now. And I am now the CEO and founder of Holistic Hyperbarics, which is my child and takes up all of my time and energy as children do.
Yes. And explain for the audience who might not know, what is hyperbarics?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hitting the lexicon, but I think people are still new to it. The fun fact is, if you guys have been on an airplane, you've definitely been in a hyperbaric chamber. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy is a therapy in which we deliver 100% oxygen under pressure. And what that does is it forces more oxygen into your body at 1,200 times more than you can do on your own. And that translates to faster healing and better performance. So that's the easiest way I think I can explain it. And we can go into crazy didactics if we need to.
Yeah, I love it. I want to get, I love getting into the details. And for me, I'm thinking, okay, so I've been in the mountains and used an oxygen bar to give myself extra oxygen so I don't get headaches and stuff. So this is kind of like that, but a whole, like a thousand, not even more than a thousand time greater experience. So essentially you've designed, right? Do you have a patent on your own hyperbaric chamber as well?
We have clearances, we have FDA approval and clearances and a patent on our chamber that will be coming to the US. Yes. So a few things there. So when you're up in altitude, the air is thin. You always hear that the air is thin. What they mean by that is that the oxygen molecules are further apart. So it's hard for you to take in. You're definitely breathing air, but you're not breathing oxygen as much as you do at regular sea level. So you feel like you can't catch your breath. And it's true because your body only needs oxygen to do its job. So you're taking in these breaths, trying to get more oxygen molecules when you're at altitude. So to cure altitude sickness, you definitely need oxygen and you need water to help you with the curing of that. And when you go to an oxygen bar, you breathe in 100% medical grade oxygen or close to it. And when you breathe that in, the oxygen concentration is higher. So those molecules are closer together and you take in more of them, which takes your body from a hypoxic state to an oxygen rich state, which is back where you need to be, especially if you're feeling that ill. Hyperbarics is not the opposite, but it's like supercharging an oxygen bar, because not only do I give you the medical grade oxygen, but we add pressure to it. So just very briefly, I won't bore you, I promise.
Yeah,
you're sitting at sea level right now, all of you. You're sitting with about 14 pounds per square inch on your body, which is kind of amazing. And your respiratory system works on a pressure gradient, which just means that the pressure out here is greater than the pressure in my thoracic cavity. Okay. We need that pressure exteriorly to drive oxygen into our body to keep us alive. What we do in a hyperbaric chamber is we increase that pressure around the body. What that does is drive even more oxygen into your body. That's the first part of it. And the second part of it is, because of amazing physics, when you increase the amount of pressure in a controlled space, the oxygen molecules get smaller. So you take in even more of them under pressure. So it's a very, very effective tool of getting oxygen deep into the body. And that's what we need. A fun fact I always like to tell kids is, why do you think the dinosaurs were so big? why do you think the plants and all the wildlife was so big back then? It's because the oxygen content was so much greater. Wow. Right now, we're only breathing in 21%. But back then, they estimated anywhere between 35 and 40% oxygen was available in the atmosphere.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that totally. Like I never knew that. That's a fun fact I'm going to have to store away and tell my daughter.
Kids love that.
So how did you go from EMT and doula to owning a hyperbaric company?
Yeah, and let's not forget that at one point I was a law enforcement officer.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Yes, I went to the police academy and I was a law enforcement officer too.
Wow.
As I said in the beginning, it has been a wayward path of caring for others. And that has always been my compass. And I've always just wanted more. And so when I was working in home healthcare, I then moved to working as an EMT. As an EMT, I wanted to start doing home births. So I went back to school and learned how to do home birth and birth advocating. From there, we started to see these names. And you remember this. This is a very pivotal time in our American history. We started to hear names like Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and all of Sandra Bland. We can sit here for hours and talk about all these names when we always knew that these things were happening, but because of technology, we were able to see what was happening when, you know, state-funded agencies were abusing their power and brutalizing and killing people of color. Mm-hmm. And of course, in your 20s, you're like, I can solve this problem. Because that's what your 20s are for, right?
Optimism.
And so it's like, yeah, I'll solve police work. I will get them to stop killing Black people. It'll be simple, right? I love your 20s. It was a good time. And so I went and I became a law enforcement officer. And I am the granddaughter of Black Panthers. My grandparents are dead now because of cigarette smoke, and there's larger conversations about that. But it was kind of a taboo in our family because of who I come from. But for me, it was like, if I can change the system within, then we can become larger advocates for the people.
Absolutely.
So I went in, I did very well. The 6 months of the academy was the best, hardest, scariest 6 months of my life. I learned how to shoot a gun out of a moving car. I learned that if you tase me and you put pepper spray in my eyes seconds later, I can still chase after you and run you down if I have to. I learned that 110 degree heat ain't nothing. You learn a lot about yourself. And I got out there and I thought, can we now have discussions about restorative justice? Mm-hmm. Can we now have discussions about what it is to take someone's liberty from them for very basic crimes? And how can we change the structure on how we interact with people of color and the public in general to make this very incremental change in the system? And what I found was nothing but rejection, ridicule, and largely removing me from anything that had to do with anything social or any, like I was a pariah very quickly. I was a pariah in my academy, but in the academy, you're doing what everyone else is saying. And so serendipitously, and I believe in the universe always puts you exactly where you need to be. I went to a wrestling match and I was a wrestler and I used to be a sponsored Ironman triathlete. Oh, I moved God. To wrestling so that I could, I love contact sport. It's never good with contact sport when it has to do with like balls. So I'm really good at like wrestling. I went to a wrestling match and we won the match. And then my teammate was like, you want to go? And his girlfriend was there and my fiance was there. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to say no to him. So he was 80 pounds over my weight class. Mm. And I didn't care. I should have cared.
Wow.
And I picked him up and threw him and tore my shoulder in doing it. Now I won that match, but I definitely injured myself. And it was very unfortunate that it happened the way it did. But when it happened that way, I was told very clearly that from people that I worked with, other law enforcement officers that had been in law enforcement for a long time was that the questions I was asking were probably the right questions. Mm-hmm. My pursuit for better is probably what's right, but that's not what's happening and not what's going to continue to happen. And that at some point it would put me at odds so much with law enforcement in general that maybe when I needed backup, if I was going hand to hand with a suspect and I needed help, that they wouldn't exactly be there on time.
Wow.
But I would still get the same burial as everybody else.
Oh my God.
And to me, that really shook me because that's not how I want to end my life.
No, that's giving me chills. And that's not, you know, there's a man that I worked with who is the leading Black expert on police procedure, use of force, and wrongful conviction. He was in the LAPD for 29 years. He almost quit his second year because of the systemic racism because he was also trying to change it. And he ended up staying, but now he's on the other side lifting up the wrongdoings. And that had to be so hard for you to go in, make this part of your journey, go against your family, right? To try to create change and then be told, yeah, this is the right thing to do, but yeah, it's not gonna happen. And you're not gonna get the support that you need when you need it the most from the people who are supposed to be there supporting you when you're doing your job.
But don't worry, we'll bury you like a hero. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate thing about where modern day US policing is. Before we move on, I will just tell you this one thing is that the one thing I really advocated for and meditated a lot about, I was competing on a professional level doing triathlon back in 2012 in Brazil. And it was my second night there. I was racing on the sixth night and I had gone out with friends and we were in São Paulo in downtown around 11:30 at night. And there was a man in the street with a knife and cop cars show up. We're sitting at this restaurant that almost has a view of everything, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I'm from the US. I don't need to see someone else die. Mm-hmm. And just like anything else, you're drawn to it. And so we were watching it and this SUV, police SUV comes and this person comes out that looks like they're an authoritative figure. And this SUV comes around and he gets out and he takes out this long suitcase looking thing. And then he takes out what appears to be a bazooka. And I'm like, is this what happens? Like, cause I traveled at the time. I was not well traveled. It was one of my very first trips out of the country. So I was like, oh, is this justice in Brazil? And I didn't know. And he unveils this thing and he puts it on his shoulder, almost like a comic rocket launcher. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we're about to watch this man blow this guy actually away. He shoots this thing and it's a net.
Oh my gosh.
It opens up like a cartoon around this man with his knife and opens around him. And these plastic buoys swing about him, swing, swing, swing until the man can't do anything but just tip over. And then they all walk over, they take the knife from him from inside the netting, pick him up and put him in the police car and strap him in and they're just gone. And I thought to myself, holy shit, why aren't we netting people? Why aren't we netting people? What's the worst that can happen? Concussion? They get hit with one of those buoys?
You know,
they get to keep their life.
Wow.
You look at the countless amount of people who have been shot for having less than a knife, and I just watched them seamlessly execute. Like the officers had their gun drawn on dude. He didn't move. But then the supervisor just very calmly came to the side and just shot him with this net. And he just fell. It was as if I had seen a different planet. And I came back to the US. This is back when I was applying to departments. And that's all I could talk about. And no one in the States wanted to hear, oh, liability, or we'd have to go through a lot of training, or it's really expensive. And I'm just like, y'all are getting tanks from the Obama administration. What are we even talking about here? And so it was a hard, wayward time in my life, but realizing that there, even with all of these names that continue to happen, Ronald Green, who we just heard about 3 weeks ago, who we didn't know about, that actually happened 2 years ago, where the police officers are caught on tape talking about the blood on their hands and how this N-word has AIDS. They don't want to change, and it is unfortunate. And so my work has been about educating young men of color about knowing their rights in interactions, mm-hmm. both when they're in a vehicle or they're on the street. What is considered consensual? What is a non-consensual conversation? What are your rights in both of those scenarios, and what you should do, even if you have committed a crime? And so a lot of what my work has been is making sure that people are bolstered with the correct information to keep their bodies safe. And that has been really fulfilling to do that work. But that really led me into holistic hyperbarics, because I tore my shoulder in doing that at that wrestling. I then was warned about law enforcement. I recognized, okay, if my life is about helping people,
right,
it can't be in this way, because I will never get the kind of backing or change that I'm looking for. And we get one life.
Yeah.
We get one. And so
I honestly, yeah. I mean, I had tears in my eyes when you talked about the net, because it seems like such a no-brainer, noble solution that still retains somebody's dignity and life. And
Mike Brown, all of these names could still be here.
I have chills. But I had no idea about this. I mean, I've known you for a little bit, but I had no idea about this part of your story.
Wow. I even got the schematics to this net. It's a thing where I'm just like, it's actually not that expensive. And I can't imagine the training is, I spent 6 months learning how to use a handgun. I spent 3 days in diversity training. So let's talk about how the system is incorrect here.
Yeah.
Right. I spent 6 months in handgun training, yet I only spent a month in de-escalation. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So we can have a much longer discussion on law enforcement and how it's failing the United States right now, and how there is a little bit of hope in there, because there are people trying to make change. But for me, I made a decision in my life. I needed to heal my shoulder, and I was like, okay, I'm going to focus on healing my shoulder and figure out what's next. If that's law enforcement, great. If it's not, great. Mm-hmm. And for me, I thought about how I used a hyperbaric chamber when I was a sponsored Ironman triathlete. Mm. And my coach had one. And so I used it in a performance capacity. I would swim for 3 hours, and then she would pop me in that thing with a burrito. I'd take a nap, and then I'd pop out and then hop on a bike for four hours and feel like nothing happened. And I thought, if that can do that for performance, it's got to do something for my shoulder. And I had a medical background, but I had no idea what this did in general. And so I just started reading. And the more I read, I was just like, this is amazing. And then I started going to facilities that were nearby me. And what I encountered was nothing but disappointing. Everything was really expensive, which I was ready for. But what I wasn't ready for was the fact that the spaces were very cold. Mm. People were not really inviting. It was more like you get in and do this thing. And the experience is stagnant. And I met with the doctors, and one doctor implied that she was like, well, you know, we don't do payment plans here. I never solicited them about a payment plan. That's what she said to me unsolicited. And
she was judging you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even, I mean, it was a sterile environment.
Yeah.
In every possible way.
Yeah. And so I went through with the treatment at her place. It was $300 just to talk to her. It was another $374 to do the session. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, I recognized that I needed 40 sessions. And I was like, okay, I had thousands of dollars saved, but did I want to spend it with someone who just assumed I needed all of these things, who was that rude? And then I went to another place, and although they weren't racist, they were still really expensive and very cold. And then I was like, you know what? I'll just buy one. So I bought one, and I had just enough money in my bank account to buy it and not pay for the shipping. Oh, so I had to drive to LA to go and get it.
Wow.
And bring it back here. And I brought it back to my apartment and we put it in the spare bedroom and I used it every day for 4 months. Now, when I went to the doctor, when I tore my shoulder, doctor said, okay, it's going to be anywhere from 10 to 16 months for you to heal it before mm-hmm. you could even start going back to weightlifting and getting back into shape. Mm-hmm. And I got in that chamber sometimes twice a day, but for sure every day, for at least 90 minutes per session. Mm-hmm. And I healed my shoulder in under 4 months. I was back to lifting my body weight plus 20% over my head by month 5.
Oh my gosh.
And like a true millennial, I started talking about it on Facebook. And my friends started coming over for different conditions, like surgical recovery and Lyme disease and depression. And they started getting a lot of relief. And every time a new condition would come into my chamber, I'm reading. Mm-hmm. I'm reading studies. I'm buying more books. And I'm getting more and more excited about the healing modality of oxygen and pressure. That's all this is.
That's so amazing.
It's all it is. It's oxygen and pressure, which is something you experience all the time. You're experiencing it right now when you're listening to me. And so they started posting about it on their Facebook and their friends started coming over. Now at the time I was not charging at all. Mm-hmm. It was more of like ring my doorbell and come over and use this little spaceship and then clean it after you're done. And change the sheets and go. And it got to a point where I wasn't home all the time for all the time it was being used. So I left a spare key. I need you to understand how crazy this was.
Yeah.
For a long time, I didn't know the people who were in my house. So when I would go to the grocery store or I'd come back, someone I did not know was in my East Oakland apartment.
Level of trust. Thing.
And I was so fascinated that someone who didn't know me was okay with taking my spare key and coming into my apartment. And that just told me that there was a need beyond anything else I have ever experienced in healthcare.
Yeah.
And it was the following week that I sat down with two of my girlfriends and I was like, I got something weird happening at my apartment. I have no idea how to quantify it. I haven't made any money off of it, but it is curious. And they came over and used the chamber. And the next day they both invested in what okay, now is holistic okay. hyperbarics. And we started with one chamber, that little one in my place. And it's been 4 years. We have doubled and sometimes tripled our net every year we've been open, even in COVID.
Wow.
We've gone from soft shell chambers, that are mainly for home use to medical grade hard shell chambers, primarily for cash. And now we are at this precipice. Yes. So that brings you up to speed. It was just me as an employee, one person. Now I have 15 employees. I have a board of directors now, and I have an innovations team, which is moving us forward into our new chapter. It has moved hand over fist how fast this has gone. And mainly just because this modality that appears to have no to any side effects is solving problems that are seeming to be unsolvable, like long-term Lyme, or people who have been deemed infertile.
Wow.
Are now having children.
Oh my God.
So when we're looking at how big this could be, the sky is the limit because we don't have enough centers in the US. Mm-hmm. And unlike cryo, when cryo had its boom about 6 or 7 years ago, this has over 150 years of data, both here in the United States and all over the world. And so when we're looking about the specter of what this industry is going to do in the next 10 years, the future is very bright and we are in position to be synonymous with hyperbaric oxygen therapy in the US.
This is such an inspiring story. You are seriously an inspiration. And the fact that you've taken everything you've done and all your knowledge from your different careers in helping people and using it now in this fashion with this company, Holistic Hyperbarics, something as simple as oxygen and pressure, like you said, solving depression, disease, infertility, that has such big implications for I mean, really for everybody. And I know you and I have had conversations about how it's being used for anti-aging, like for other purposes, for animals, for pets too, but just in the human condition, in light of the fact that we were in a pandemic and even more things came up and there are more eyeballs on all of the injustices that have been happening and the mental health aspect, you know?
Yeah.
Well, people really suffered and now people are willing to talk about it in communities of color where we weren't before, willing to say, yes, it's okay for us to talk about our mental health. We need to. And I can see implications with that as well.
I think, yes, the simplicity of oxygen pressure is a big thing, but what makes us different than the other people who are also supplying oxygen and pressure mm-hmm. is that we are patient focused. Mm-hmm. My life's work is about seeing people and make sure they are seen and heard.
Yeah.
And we have a propensity in this country to discount the voices of people of color. And we historically have always had that issue, right? And some will argue that POCs are in their renaissance. I don't even know what that means. But people are weird. But what I will say is that when someone calls holistic hyperbarics, we don't put a time frame on that phone call. We talk to them for as long as they feel like they need to be heard from us. Mm-hmm. We just listen. And I want people to understand that our company is reinvesting into what healthcare needs to look like.
Yeah.
What it should have looked like from the beginning. My mom is from a third world country. She was born on a kitchen floor with a midwife. The midwife would come to house, and they were paid. My family paid them in duck eggs and ducks because that's all that they had, right? And I'm not, of course, proposing you bring me a duck. Don't do it. But what I am saying is that healthcare used to be more personalized. It used to be in your personal space, and we have walked away from that because we are obsessed with the sterility of transaction, and we've become very transactional in numbers, how we do our healthcare
transactions. How many people can you see?
How much money am I making from you? And for us, it's how much difference are we making? Wow. And that might sound cheesy, but I will tell you that we celebrate in our advertising Black bodies at rest because we don't see that enough. We see all the other stuff, right? And we have a huge diverse staff. So when you come into Holistic Hyperbarics, you see yourself represented in the people who are taking care of you. Our place is made for your rest. It almost brings your shoulders down coming in. We have 200 plants in our space, 200 types. We have a lot more than we have infrared recliners. Our chambers are lined in pillows and blankets and Wi-Fi. And it's laced in your comfort on purpose because we want you to understand that, yeah, this is therapy. It's good. It's oxygen therapy. It's doing biological stuff. But this is also emotional work for you. Mm. Take that time for yourself because especially as people of color, it's about productivity, right? And they'll tell you just up by the bootstraps. We were never given boots. Don't like, it's so, but what we're also not given is celebration of rest. Mm-hmm. And so why we believe that we're in this place and ready to make these big pivotal moves this year is because that's how we focus on it. And it has reflected in how patients feel about us. We have the most and best reviews of any other hyperbaric center in the country. And it's not just because we're focusing in on their rest. Going back to what you were saying, there are so many applications of hyperbaric and we do not restrict ourselves to the 14 conditions that are covered by insurance. We treat all kinds of stuff like fertility and COVID-19 long haulers and Lyme disease and migraines and MS. These are all conditions that are not seen by the FDA because of money as covered conditions, but can be pivotally changed by hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
So what's next for the hyperbarics?
World domination. What's next? For us, we are about to go into our largest and arguably maybe our last investment round. And for what we are doing, the specter of it, we are only asking for $5 million, which in Silicon Valley, where my company is, not a lot.
Yeah.
But what we plan to do is we plan to open two state-of-the-art facilities where we can both take insurance and private pay so that we have a marriage to both of them, and both populations that need it, need insurance to relax the barrier of entry to come in and see us, can see us. And in turn, we will make a good amount of money from insurance reimbursal. And so we're going to open up two locations. With that, we're also opening up an oxygen company. Mm-hmm. So what we know is that vertical integration is really important. And so we want to make sure that we're controlling our biggest vendor, which is oxygen. So we decided to open an oxygen company. Our current oxygen vendors are not great. And they'll tell you that they're not great. They're not on time. They don't wear a uniform. They're rude when they get there. And the prices are really expensive. And after doing market research, we recognize that it doesn't have to be that way. Just like hyperbarics doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
We can be patient or customer focused and win. And so we are opening up a separate company. We've named it GoToO2. Super cute.
Cute.
And trademark it. We are going to deliver oxygen, not just to holistic hyperbaric locations, but also to our local dentists, our veterinarian offices, our pharmacies, nursing homes, and most importantly and excitingly, to anyone who has a prescription, we can deliver it to your home. It's crazy that my smartphone can order me lunch, a gardener, and a housekeeper. But if I have a prescription for oxygen, it can't happen. And so we're going to change that. We're going to put this back into the hands of people and make it affordable. Yeah. So that is another part. And the last part is, of course, yes, I did help to design a brand new chamber that will be hitting the market. It's being manufactured in Spain right now. And I'm actually going to Spain in about a week and a half to go and check the chamber and make sure everything is ready so that when it hits the US market later this year, not only will we be using it, it's exclusive in our centers, but we'll be able to sell it to people who have their own centers here in the US. So part of our dream is to make sure that we are not necessarily in control of, but good ethical leaders of hyperbaric oxygen therapy, the manufacturing of chambers, and the delivery of oxygen. And the plan is everywhere we put a holistic hyperbaric location, we also put a GoToO2 location.
Nice.
So that it supplies us with oxygen and our providers. Think about a wound care facility that refers us Medicare patients, mm-hmm. and then we sell them oxygen on top of that. We're seeing many revenue streams with one referral source. So that makes us a very, very strong competitor in any space.
Yeah.
And the time cannot be better for hyperbaric oxygen therapy because everyone is starting to understand what it is. And we have centers popping up all over the United States. So our plan is to go to the Pacific Northwest. We want to put in one in Colorado and then dot the I's coming backwards again in Utah, in Arizona, in Southern California, and in Idaho, and then push toward the East Coast, and it is our plan. And if all goes correctly, we have other projects within hyperbarics that we'd like to unleash. Speaking of unleashing, we'd like to work with pets. And we're going to start a company called Pup Pets Under Pressure. And hyperbaric oxygen therapy is good for pets. They get wounds, they get depression, yeah. they have surgery, they have dental care. All of this needs oxygen to heal faster. And so we are seeing a pivot point in how we have a conversation about healthcare. And so we want to be an active part of that conversation because we are non-invasive and yet very effective.
Woo,
sorry. I get hyped.
I love it. I love your passion. Your everything stemming from you really have a purpose driven life. And I'm so excited to see what happens next, follow your journey and try it out for myself. I have to get up to the Bay Area, which is where you are currently located, before yes. worldwide expansion happens. Yeah. But if somebody wanted to learn more, talk to you about any of these, come into your facility, Holistic Hyperbarics is where it's at.
Yeah, so our website is hh-bayarea.com. And if you search Holistic Hyperbarics on Instagram, you will find us there. If you're interested in an investment, you can give us an email at alex@hh-bayarea.com. And we're starting our investment round in 1 month. And it's going to be a fun ride. So we employ anyone who's interested in joining us in that capacity. Please reach out. And if you're looking for hyperbaric oxygen therapy in an area near you that is not us here in the Bay Area, you please still reach out to us. Our thing is that we are happy to refer to centers that we partner with. We know a lot in different areas. And we want you to get into chamber wherever you go, because we recognize that it's pivotal to people's health. So talk to us, we'll help you.
Well, Alex, thank you for speaking with me today. You are truly changing the face of healthcare, literally and figuratively. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
And audience, thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back again next week.
Want more tips and tricks? Check us out online at www.anikapr.com, on social media at Anika Jackson PR, or join our 3-month PR Incubator Bootcamp for small businesses via www.princubator.com.